Welcome to OU.org and www.etshalom.com. My name is Yitzchak Etshalom, and we're studying the book of Shmuel. Today we're studying Shmuel Bet Perek Zayin, a monumental perek. David has just brought the Aron up to Yerushalayim. Vahiki Yashav HaMelech Beveito, V'Adonai Hiniach Lo Misaviv Mikol Aivav. Several things have now transpired. One is that David is now settled in his house, and God has given him all of his enemies who surround him and put them, as it were, in their place. Hiniach Lo Misaviv, meaning they are no longer bothering him. He no longer has the incursions of the Plishtim that we read about before. And so now the king turns to the next reasonable stage. From Melech HaNatan HaNavi, Reina Anochi Yoshev Beit Arazim, Aron HaElohim Yoshev Betoch HaYiriyah. So the king turned to Natan, who we have not heard of before, unless for some reason he's the same Natan as the son of David mentioned in Perek Yomo, which is highly unlikely. He turns to Natan HaNavi and says, "See, I am sitting in a house of cedars," as we saw that Hiram had built for him, "and in the meantime, the ark of Hashem is sitting in a tent," meaning, I want to build a house for God. Natan here spoke too quickly. He told David, everything that you want to in your heart to go ahead and do, God is with you. In other words, he gave him the go-ahead to build the Mikdash. But on that same night, God spoke to Natan and said, "Lech v'amartai el avdi el David. Go tell David." And now David is not being rebuked. Natan, for some reason, is not being rebuked, even though he spoke too quickly. David here is being referred to in the kindest and warmest of terms, "My servant." Are you going to build a house for my settling, for my being settled? Now, this next passage could be misread and was misread by many people as being a rejection of the notion of a house for God. It is not at all. Pay attention to how it plays out. Ki lo yashavti b'vayit miyom haloti b'nei Yisrael mitzrayim v'ayom hazeh v'ayom italech b'ohel v'mishkan. I never dwelt in a house from the time that I took b'nei Yisrael out of Mitzrayim until this very day, and I have been, as it were, walking in a tent and in a sanctuary. In other words, I've always been in this temporary sort of settlement. I haven't asked for a house. There's a word we have to look at here as far as its meaning and its root. But as long as I walked, now notice, he says, I've been walking, mitalech, I've been journeying in a tent, and as long as I journeyed with Bnei Yisrael, did I speak to Echad Shivtei Yisrael, which sounds like one of the tribes of Israel. That's not what it means. As you see from the next few words, I should see the rota tamid Yisrael, any of the Shivtei Yisrael that I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, meaning I never spoke to the leaders. We'll see how Shevet becomes a leader. Why didn't you not build me a house of cedars? I never asked that. And we'll take a look for a moment at the word Shevet. The word Shevet is closely related to the word Shofet, Shin Peitet, Pei and Bet being interchangeable labials. And we see many examples of where they are easily interchanged or transposed letters. A Shevet means several things that are all related. A Shevet, first of all, is a staff. A Shiftecha Mishantecha. A Shevet is also a tribe. A Shevet is also the head of a tribe. And those all come together because the head of the tribe is the one who holds the staff. And therefore, the whole group that comes around him is called the tribe, the tribal unit. And the word Shofet also is misunderstood, and I mentioned this much earlier in our study of Sefer Shmuel. The word Shofet does not mean a judge, or certainly not exclusively. It also means a leader. So that's what it chiefly means, some form of a leader. Again, relating to the word Shevet. So here God says, I never spoke to any of the leaders that I commanded to shepherd my people that they should build me a house. I took you from the pasture. You were in back of the sheep, you were shepherding, and I took you from there. To be a leader over my people. In other words, here there's a play. God says, I never told any of the leaders that were shepherding my people to build me a house. And now I took you from being a real shepherd, a shepherd of sheep, to lead my people. So certainly I'm not going to ask you that. Parenthetically, that's a phrase, that Amos later appropriates. Take a look at Amos Perek Zayin. I've been with you everywhere you've gone. I've been walking, you've been walking, I've been walking with you. I cut off all of your enemies from your presence. And I gave you a great name, like the name of the great people in the land. You're now famous. And now it's unclear where we're passing from the past tense to the future tense. I established a place for my people, and I planted them, and they dwell there, shachan, relating to the word mishkan. They will never be shaken, they will never again be oppressed by bad people, as in the old days. There's the word shoftim, related to shevet. And from the day that I charged leaders over my people, and I've given you respite from all of your enemies, and I have told you that I'm going to build a house for you. In other words, the simplest read of this is, you want to build a house for me, first I'm going to build a house for you. What does it mean for God to build a house for David? Ki yimlu yamecha. When your days come and you lie with your ancestors, in other words, when you die, and I will establish your seed after you that comes from you, and I will establish his kingdom. That's what establishing a house is. Who yivne bayit lishmi? He will then build a house for me, and I will establish his kingdom forever. In other words, first I will build a house for you, and then you will build a house for me, and then we will indeed be, shall we say, in sync, and that is when a house should be built. So I will build a house for you, which means a dynasty, and your child, which comes who comes after you, will be the one to build a house for me. Ani ehye lo le'av, hu yehye li levein. I will be his father, he will be my son, and I'm going to adopt your son. Asher b'ha avoto, when he sins, v'hochachtiv b'shevet anashim v'nig'ei b'nei adam. When he sins, I will rebuke him with the punishment of people, with the staff of people, as it were, and with afflictions that hurt people. In other words, he is going to suffer like a regular person if he does wrong, just like a loving father would do to his son. V'chazdi lo yasur b'meno, but I will never have my kindness leave him, just like a father. Kasher asirotim im sha'ul, shasirotim ofanecha. Unlike what I did with Shaul, where I really abandoned him, here I will not abandon him. And Ne'eman, meaning trustworthy or stable, your house and your kingdom will be trustworthy and stable forever. Your throne will be firm forever. And Natan then reported all of this to David. Now, what we have is Hashem's response to David is, on the one hand, seems to be a negation of building a house, and on the other hand, seems to be an agreement to allow a house to be built for him, but only after Hashem has built a house for David by having his descendants, sit on the throne and his house be established. This is the great promise that we read about consistently later on in Sefer Melachim and throughout rabbinic literature of David being promised the throne forever. This is where it starts right here. David then comes before God, meaning now, when he said before God, we now know what it means. It's now in front of the Aron. And he said, who am I and Hashem? And who is my household that you brought me to here? In other words, he recognizes that this is a point for humility. And you've said all of this, and you've spoken to your servant from a distance, right? What can I say more? You've done all of this great stuff, setting my household, establishing my kingdom, getting rid of my enemies. These are words that are echoed in Tehillim, Pevav, for instance. There's nothing like this. There is no God other than you. Everything that we've heard about you. And who is like your nation? This is the quid pro quo, the reciprocal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Bnei Yisrael. That leads to that beautiful Agadah in Brachot Tavav that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wears tefillin, in which it declares the unity of Am Yisrael. Asherachu Elohim liftot lo la'am v'lasum lo shem v'lasot lachem ha'gdula v'noraot le'atzacha. The God has come to redeem and to save his people and to make great things for them. Bnei amcha shepadita lachem Mitzrayim goyim v'elohav. V'atchotein lacha tamcha Yisrael lacha la'am. You established Am Yisrael as an Am. Adolam. In other words, takes himself out of the picture. It's not that you've established me as king forever, but you've established Am Yisrael as your Am forever. And you are their God. And he accepts God's ruling, as it were, and God's kindness that he's going to build a house for David. That's what you're going to do. V'yigdal shimcha ad olam lemor, Adonai tzvot Elohim al Yisrael v'et avdecha David yanachon lefanecha. And he prays that God's name should be great forever, and that indeed David's house will be established. K'ata Adonai tzvot Elohim Yisrael galita at ozen avdecha lemor, bayit evnelach. You have galita at ozen. This is a phrase that Shaul used several times. You have revealed to my ears, telling me that you're going to build my house. That's why I'm praying to you, praying your name should be great. And now he's saying your word should be true, and this should come true, and you've told me all of these great things. Bless your servant's house, bless me, that I should always be in front of you. Dibarta, you have spoken, Berchatcha Yivarach Beit Avdecha Le'olam, and from your bracha, my house should be blessed forever. David effectively accepts what Natan reports to him, that Hashem has, instead of allowing him to build the house, has told him that it will be delayed by one generation, and only when David dies, and by his death, and by his son sitting on his throne, will there be a Beit David. Only then can there be built a Beit Hashem. The relationship, the symbiotic relationship between Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Hashem, between the Jewish monarchy and the establishment of an abode for God, is so powerful that one cannot exist without the other, and God's house cannot be built before there's a house built by David. Now that, of course, ignores totally the treatment presented several times in Sefer Divrei Hayamim, in which, as is well known, when David says to Shlomo, I wanted to build a house, but God said I could not build the house because Ish Milchamot Atah, I'm a man of war, Dam LaRov Shafachta, I've spilled lots of blood. That is a subject for another opportunity in another form, how we reconcile these two explanations and what we are to make of Hashem's explanation there, Hashem's reasoning there, that David cannot build the house because he has spilled much blood. Does that mean that David's involvement in war was a wrong thing to do? How are we to understand it? We will leave that for another opportunity. In the meantime, everyone should have a wonderful day. We will pick up with two very short prakim in the next two podcasts, Perek Chet and Perek Tet, which, as relatively quiet as they are within the general panorama of reading Sefer Shmuel, nonetheless represent the climax of David's power, which will then begin to wane after we begin the study of Perek Yod. Everyone should have a wonderful day.